and gaze upon the Lord, then with a vision in thy heart, turn strong to meet thy day. Let us begin our worship by thanking. You may be seated. Those of you who are standing, there are some seats down here in front if you want to come on down. We welcome you to Southeastern Seminary and to our summer school session and to our summer worship experience together in this place each of the class days. I'm sure that some of you are brand new to Southeastern Seminary, and we would just like to know that if this is your first session with us as a new student, you're entering for the first time Southeastern, we would like for you to stand that we might just see how many first-timers we have here. Would you stand, please? Great. Thank you so much. We welcome you to our family at Southeastern. It's good to have you here. And those of you who are still struggling to get out, we're sorry about that. Hope you have better luck next time. Now I want to present our summer school faculty for the first session. Hopefully our professors know who they are and that they're assigned to teach for this first session. So if you're assigned a teaching assignment the first session, would you stand, faculty, that we might present you, all of our faculty persons. If you remain standing, let me just see if I can introduce you. Ray Allen, the first, is adjunct professor with us, pastor of Blacksburg Baptist Church in Blacksburg, Virginia. Ray, we're glad to have you as an adjunct. Luther Osmond, another adjunct professor. Luther is an area missionary with the Baptist State Convention in Western North Carolina. Luther, we're glad to have you with us. Tom Halbrooks, the next person back, professor of church history. He's a regular faculty. Mahan Seiler in the white shirt, guy with the white hat. Director of School of Pastoral Care, Winston-Salem, an adjunct with us this semester session. Glad to have you. Next to him, Dr. Richard Hester, Professor of Pastoral Care. Dr. Tom Graves, Professor of Philosophy of Religion. And out in the lobby trying to get in, late arrival, Dr. Don Cook, Professor of New Testament. And I think that covers our faculty persons that are here. We are glad to have our faculty, regular faculty, adjunct faculty, to lead us in this first term of summer session. Now, I didn't say too much about the faculty because I was afraid that I would over-introduce these persons who are so distinguished among us and who will be serving, and I was afraid that I might over-introduce them like I heard a man introduced. I heard about this man. He was introduced as a man who had made $1 million in cattle in Oklahoma. Well, to respond to that introduction, the man said, well, that was just a slight mistake that had been stretched just a tad. He said, really, it was not I that made that $1 million in cattle in Oklahoma, but it was my brother. And it wasn't $1 million, it really was $100,000. And it wasn't cattle, but it was oil. And it wasn't Oklahoma, but it was Texas. And it wasn't made, it was lost. I really was afraid I would over-introduce our faculty. And so I just identified their areas and their positions with us. Now there are a couple of announcements that I need to make. I've talked with our computer this morning, and I want to share a few announcements from the computer section. We have a two-legged computer at this place, and he goes by the initials of Fred Sandusky. And Cousin Fred said to tell you that you can add a course only through tomorrow at 4:29 p.m. That absolutely is a cutoff for adding a course, so you'll remember that word. And the second word from the computer is that you can withdraw from a course through this Friday without the course being entered onto your permanent record. So if you've had a terrible week, remember Friday's coming, and that's the last day. I asked him about our enrollment just before coming to church. I wanted to get inspired so I could come and transfer the inspiration to you. And he said that we are still counting, and probably we will have 350 persons in this first session of summer school, and this will be our largest ever summer session. So you are history-making persons. You already knew that, but I thought I'd just reinforce that feeling that you have. Now, you notice that 350 persons will fill up our chapel, and for you newcomers, we have one a tad bigger than this that we'll use in the fall. But we would ask that as you come in, if you would come to the front, it would help the latecomers who heard I was preaching today, and everybody came and they're out in the halls and byways and hedges trying to get in. So if you would move to the front, it would be helpful to us each day in our summer school worship time together. Now, this past year in our regular chapel services, we've done something a little bit differently. We have designated our Tuesday chapel time as a family prayer concern time, and we have shared. Sometimes the worship leader has known of needs within our seminary community and acquainted with the whole student body and faculty administration with these prayer requests. And I want us to do that now. I'm aware, as many of us are aware, that Evelyn Cross has been in the hospital, came home yesterday. Evelyn is the wife of our business manager, and after a malignancy operation, the report is good, and they're very much encouraged by the recent report. But I would like to add that as a prayer concern, and I would like for those of you who have other prayer concerns just to share them, and then after we've had a period of sharing, I'm going to ask that Mr. Woody Cato, Director of Student Affairs, lead us in our prayer time together. Now, are there other needs that you would like to share just spontaneously? Thank you.
One student who finished up this past year, first year at seminary, and he's really had a hard time. He's had a struggling with whether to return here in the fall. Pretty tough decision on his financials.
All right. Thank you. I'm sure there are some who finished up in May that are still trying to get located, and we would add those decisions and places. Yes, sir.
I have a couple of concerns. I have a cousin and her neighbor who recently died, and he has cancer. All those very aggressive support system there. He had king fever and death. He's really scared to death and needs prayer. And also, my home church is in real financial difficulty. They've lost a lot of members, and they're just not being able to pay the bills, not able to pay the pastor his salary at the present time. They're having a real life.
Thank you.
Like prayer will be our church as we prepare to deal with him like that.
Thank you. Woody, how about your catching up these concerns in our prayer together at this time? Let's pray.
Gracious Father, we are grateful for the privilege of calling upon you in these first hours of this new day. We thank you that we can call upon you at the beginning of a new experience. As we gather together as your people, we've heard these words, we've heard these names, these requests. But most of all, Father, we know that you have heard them. You've also heard the secret yearnings of our hearts, the needs of our very lives. And so, Father, in these moments together, we commit these to you, believing that you care for us, that you love us, that you will sustain us, that you will provide for our every need. We believe this, and we claim it in your name. together in the town to begin these new endeavors. We pray that we might experience a sense of community, that our lives might gravitate toward others, that community might be truly born, that we might feel the strength that comes from fellowship, that comes from the common struggle, that comes from serving you as your people. We thank you for your grace which sustains us from day to day. We pray that your strength might be our strength, that your love might truly fill us and flow through us to those who need to know it and experience it. We pray for those who need you in a special way and ask that you would bless them, give them courage, give them understanding, give them strength for day-to-day living. We thank you for this school, for what it stands for, what it can mean to each one of us. Father, we ask that you bless us as individuals, as we strive to be equipped to be your ministers. Help us to give our life to you, to open our lives to your will in all that we do, as we work, as we serve, as we teach, as we learn, together.
Amen. This morning I have chosen to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14, 15, 16, and 17. 2 Timothy 3:17 is within the seal of Southeastern Seminary. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The story goes that a small town in western North Carolina was facing a crisis with reference to their courthouse. Time and pigeons had taken their toll on the old courthouse. And so the mayor, much akin to the mayor of some of the current television specials, appointed a high-level blue ribbon study commission to bring a recommendation about what to do with the old courthouse, to bring the recommendation to the town council. After an exhaustive study, the blue ribbon study committee brought its report, and it consisted of the following three recommendations. First, that the old courthouse building should be torn down. Second, that materials from the old building should be used for the new building. And the third recommendation was that they should use the old building while the new building was being built. Now, that committee provided me with a text and my 3 points for this meditation this morning. For as I see it, these recommendations also apply to the present position of the church. First, that the old be torn down. And you and I know that when we're building a new structure, that scaffolding, which is so much necessary and essential to the building process, has to go eventually. It was necessary at a certain point in development, but now it's in the way. There are all kinds of applications that where this might work. I discovered when I came to Southeastern Seminary in the 50s as a student from a Missouri Landmark Baptist Church that was the chiefest of the Landmark Baptist churches in that state, that much of the scaffolding that I had received as a youngster in Sunday school and had received through sermons by evangelistic preachers, that much of the scaffolding which had to do with landmark theology and premillennial charts, which I cut my teeth on in junior Sunday school classes, much of that scaffolding that I brought as religious scaffolding had to go. And when my Missouri landmark background hit historical critical approach, there was a great collision. Wood and splinters and me flew everywhere, all over this campus. From the beginning, man has tried to find ways to contain God, to put scaffolding all around him. But God has a way of refusing to be fenced in. So when we carved idols in wood or stone or gold with an idea that they could contain God, God had a way of breaking out of those idols. Later, as man became satisfied and prosperous and also conservative, became the religious Buckleys of each generation, when man decided to settle God down and build him a house so that God didn't have to travel all the time, poor old God, he must be tired from being packed up and moved from place to place. So let's build him a tabernacle or a sanctuary or a temple. And then let's lift before this trap God a high altar on which we will offer pleasing sacrifices. And if we can make God content and happy and satisfied in this holy place and this nice place, a good house, surely if he's content and satisfied, he'll make no demands upon us. We won't have to get outside these lovely four walls and do anything for him. But Israel's God wasn't content to be God in a box. And then there are always people who want to make him a God in a book. And God is not content to be trapped in a book, even though we put gold on its edges and write some of the words in red and bind it in leather lining. He's not a God in a box or a God in a book. He won't be trapped in our places. And some of that early superstructure that we have received, and some of which we add to and make ourselves, has to go. Some of our traditional religious ideas will no longer fit our new experiences. There is no way that you and I can begin life with so adequate a system of ideas that our experience has not changed them. It's the process of growing up. We have had four children in our house. Some are out now. And we're still learning as they learn. And the processes of growing up can be very painful processes. Our religious growing up and learning can be painful. It's a difficult time. But we hope that the seminary experience for you will provide you the kind of experience in growing, in maturing, in learning about this word, this person, this Christ, and his church that will be helpful to you. Some of the old has to be torn down. Second recommendation was that materials from the old should be used to build the new. Some are so alarmed at changes that they want to resist any change. In the church where I'm an interim pastor, the last deacon's meeting, since the deacons were frustrated with an agenda item, one of the deacons made a motion that the church go back to singing the old gospel hymns. That's what's wrong with this church. We don't sing the old gospel hymns. As though to turn back and sing old gospel hymns would solve our problem. And by the way, the old gospel hymn isn't really too old. It's not too related to apostolic age. It's more related to American rural society about 40 or 50 years ago. Materials from the old should be used to build the new. We don't want to change everything. We don't want to be caught as those who resist any changes. But it's an old precept. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Get your vertical relation right. And the second is like unto it. you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on that vertical, horizontal relationship and commandment of God hangs our own salvation. Materials from the old could and should be used to build the new. The final recommendation of that study committee is the most difficult. I think that's the one that gave me the most trouble while I was a student here in those early years. How in the Sam Hill do you stay in that old building and use it while the new building is being built? The old building should be used while the new is being built. That's difficult, but that's really where we are. It's our present dilemma. I was fortunate when I was a student here to have peers that helped me through that kind of struggle, to have faculty and staff to help me, to spend time with me, to guide me through that tearing down scaffolding and putting up new structure, wrestling with what it really meant, deciding what was good in my old past and ought to be built upon, not changed one bit, but what ought to be changed and added to, new structures being built upon it. I was glad to have persons who shared with me in that building process. I was fortunate to become pastor of a church that loved me and made me as a student pastor. And so the whole experience, learning here and there, learning from each other, being taught by our Lord, through the discipline of study in the classroom and the discipline of learning from one another, loving the Lord and loving our neighbors, trying to use the old building while the new was being built. Let me suggest to you that we're all pilgrims together in this place. We haven't finished building. God, I hope, is not finished with us collectively or individually yet, that we're still in the business of trying to find out what the Word of God is and what it means. Continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Let us pray together. Our Father, we are thankful for this time together, time for worship, for learning, for new experience, for growing together, for time of commitment and recommitment to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We dedicate ourselves and this opportunity unto the Lord, and help us to grow through this experience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.